If Democrats take the House, he will spend the final 2 years of his presidency dealing with investigations, with subpoenas, with pushback on a whole host of issues. It is not going to be easy to have Democrats in the majority if you are Donald Trump. They don't want to do business with him. And if they did want to do business with him, Trump wouldn't want to do business with them while they're investigating him. It will be a very, very messy 2027 and 2028 if Democrats take back the majority.
I'm Jane Costin, and this is What A Day, the show congratulating staffers for Kentucky Republican Senator Mitch McConnell. See, Senator McConnell has been in the hospital for nearly 2 months, but his staff, still hard at work, doing something. And whatever that something is, they're getting paid for it, to the tune of nearly $500,000 pre-tax for the last 50 days, according to the Daily Beast. Great job, team. On today's show, we talk to Punch Bowl's Jake Sherman about how repulsive behavior in the House GOP is putting their majority at serious risk. Before we get into the trash baggery of it all, here's what we're following today, Tuesday, August 4th.
Now turn to the nomination of Todd Blanche to be Attorney General. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Cornyn.
Aye.
Mr. Lee.
Aye.
Mr. Cruz.
Aye.
Mr. Hawley.
Aye.
Mr. Tillis.
Aye.
Well, 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 would you look at that. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche finally swayed his Republican holdouts and cleared a critical hurdle to take on the post full-time. The Senate Judiciary Committee voted 12-10 along party lines to advance Blanche's nomination, and the full Senate could vote later this week. But Kentucky Republican Senator Mitch McConnell's absence may pose a new challenge for Blanche. If all Democrats oppose him, he can only afford to lose two Republican votes if McConnell does not return to the Senate before then. All eyes are on the great state of Michigan today, as the state's primaries will offer the country its clearest gauge yet on the direction of the Democratic Party. Scary. I know. Primary voters in the battleground state are choosing between a progressive standard bearer and an establishment-backed candidate. Although there have been similar contests around the country, this one holds extra weight because Michigan is a key state in presidential races. Abdul El-Sayed, backed by Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders, is up against four-term Representative Haley Stevens, supported by Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer. We'll have more on that tomorrow. Primaries are also happening in Kansas, Missouri, Virginia, and Washington State. Voters in Missouri are faced with a key rematch between former Democratic Representative Cori Bush, who is attempting a political comeback, and Representative Wesley Bell, who ousted her 2 years ago. The Department of Homeland Security has started strapping ankle monitors on Haitian immigrants with temporary protected status in Ohio. Let me say that again. The Department of Homeland Security has started strapping ankle monitors on Haitian immigrants with temporary protected status in Ohio. The Washington Post reported that the executive director of the Haitian Bridge Alliance said about 50 Haitians with TPS were summoned to ICE offices last week. According to the Post, local attorneys said the immigrants were released with electronic monitoring devices and told not to travel further than 75 miles from their homes. In June, the Supreme Court sided with the Trump administration, saying it could end temporary protected status for 350,000 Haitians and 6,000 Syrians. But attorneys and labor unions have argued protection for some remains through work authorization until lower courts lift an injunction. The war in Iran has cost the United States billions of dollars and the lives of more than a dozen soldiers. But according to exclusive reporting from Reuters, the U.S. military may have lost something else, nearly its entire stockpile of long-range missiles. The news organization detailed on Tuesday how the U.S. supply of surface-to-surface missiles has been almost entirely depleted by the war in Iran. The missiles cost more than $1 million each and have also been supplied to Ukrainian forces fighting Russia. Reuters reporting follows previous reporting from the New York Times, which found that the military was rapidly running out of Patriot missile interceptors. Those cost more than $4 million each and are critical to efforts to defend American military bases across the Middle East. According to the Times, those diminishing supplies might be why President Donald Trump canceled plans for a larger bombing attack on Iran this past weekend. So, Trump's war in Iran is killing Iranian civilians, making life worse for everyday Americans, and now it's putting American national security at risk because we're running out of everything. But at least we're getting... Wait, what are we getting out of this war again? And that's the news. Let's talk about the House GOP. Yesterday, we discussed the serious allegations of spousal and child abuse being made against Ohio Republican Representative Max Miller by his former wife, Emily Moreno. Her father, Ohio Republican Senator Bernie Moreno, finally spoke out against Miller on Twitter on Sunday after weeks of silence. On Tuesday, Moreno explained to TMZ that part of why he had kept quiet for so long was because of his daughter and her safety needs, as she continues to face a truly unimaginable situation.
Do I want all this in public? No. Do you have any idea that what it's like to go through physical abuse and then mental abuse and then to relive it over and over and over again? That's what my daughter has tried to avoid. She hasn't made a single solitary public statement. Max feels like he needs to go on a publicity tour, which I just don't understand.
Miller has denied all of the allegations, and as of our recording on Tuesday, he's shown no indications that he wants to resign from office, even as several Senate Republicans have said he should quit. On Monday, he even reportedly got a call from Trump himself, who reiterated that Miller's re-election race would be, quote, tough. Miller might be reaching new heights on the towering slopes of Mount Republican male garbage people, but he's not alone. And the drama within the House GOP isn't making life any easier on House Speaker Mike Johnson just a few months before the midterms. For more, I spoke to Jake Sherman, founder of Punchbowl News. Jake, welcome to What a Day.
Thanks for having me.
Ohio Representative Max Miller is facing horrifying, deeply concerning, very bad allegations of child and spousal abuse from his ex-wife. He is the Republican candidate for Ohio's 7th District. He won his primary back in May. He's getting a fair amount of pressure, as much pressure as you're going to get from a Republican towards another Republican to drop out of the race, but he doesn't show any signs of being interested in stepping down. What's going on with him?
I'm not actually sure he's getting a lot of public pressure to leave the race.
That was my question, is like, there seems to be a bit of a like, well, this seems bad, but, you know, it's a family issue. It's a weird, I am not even sure if what I could call it a pressure campaign.
Speaker Mike Johnson, as of our conversation right now, has not said anything to push him out. Johnson's typical MO is to allow the ethics committee, the internal kind of house judge, jury, and all of that stuff to conduct a case. There's no case pending right now, although Miller said today he is asking the ethics committee to investigate himself. He's asking for an investigation into himself, theoretically, because he thinks it would clear his name. But listen, the political reality here is pretty, I don't want to say nasty, but it's pretty obvious. If Miller leaves the race, it would help Democrats win the seat, or it would help Republicans win the seat, rather. Democrats have a competitive candidate in this race, and they think they could knock Miller off. I don't know where Miller's going to end up. He denies all of these claims, but they are pretty horrifying. And he has said he will not drop out.
Something that's also strange about this is that Miller's former wife is the daughter of Republican Ohio Senator Bernie Moreno. And now, after weeks of not really saying anything about this, Moreno is now coming out and talking about this case and basically saying that he was quiet because his daughter wanted him to stay quiet. So what we're actually dealing with is a weird Republican on Republican intrastate terrible thing. Ohio Republicans are currently locked in tough battles for the governorship, for Senate, and also for House. How is that impacting Ohio's GOP?
Tremendously. Let's start with that. I mean, it is not only, as you said, an intra-party, intra-state saga. It's also an intra-family saga. Bernie Moreno has said, as you mentioned, that he stayed quiet because of his daughter and at her wishes. And his daughter, Emily, to be clear, has not said anything about these divorce issues. She's not made any public statements. But Miller's seat, which kind of runs from the exurbs in the suburbs of Cleveland southwest in the state, should be a Republican stronghold and is likely to not be. Both parties have this race, the poll between Brian Poindexter, the Democratic candidate, and Miller, very close, within a couple points. This is a seat that Donald Trump won by 11 points in the last election. This is not a seat that should be anywhere close to competitive. And, you know, every seat matters in a House majority that is as narrow as Republicans' majority is. And you could see if Max Miller loses his seat, if Chuck Edwards, the North Carolina Republican who has come under increasing pressure from the Ethics Committee about how he behaved toward his young female staffers, if he loses, those are two seats that they should not lose. It makes it even easier for Democrats to take back the House in just about 3 months. I mean, we have to remember, this election is coming quickly. We are less than 100 days out. Most states, the ballot is closed and you can't replace somebody. In Ohio, you do have a couple of days until this weekend to replace someone on the ballot. Although, as I said, Miller has shown absolutely no signs that he's going to do so.
If you're also thinking to yourself, Max Miller hasn't shown signs of doing anything good, stick around. We'll get back to my conversation with Jake Sherman in a moment. In the meantime, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, watch us on YouTube, and share with your friends. More to come after some ads. What A Day is brought to you by Acorns. So many people are focused on where their money is today. Acorns is a financial wellness app that cares about where your money is going tomorrow. And with the Acorns Potential screen, you can find out what your money is capable of. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. Acorns is easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you've got is spare change. Acorns grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or thinking about settling down, Acorns supports your big and small goals across every life stage. Sign up now, and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/WAD or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/WAD. What A Day is brought to you by Casper. There are a few things in life you should never cheap out on, and the thing you spend 8 hours a night on is definitely one of them. This podcast is sponsored by Casper. Casper makes reliable, high-quality mattresses designed to deliver consistent, comfortable sleep night after night. That's why, out of 99 mattresses, Consumer Reports named Casper's The One Mattress their top-rated all-foam mattress of 2026. That's a big deal. There is no sponsor of this podcast whose product I use more than Casper, which always ensures I get the best sleep possible. Remember, the day always ends well with Casper. Right now, save up to 20% on mattresses and up to 25% on everything else when you go to Casper.com. One last time, that's Casper.com, and save up to 20% on the mattress you deserve.
Hey, it's Tommy from Pod Save America and Pod Save the World. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics to talk about how to fix this mess. Even President Obama made a surprise appearance. We're doing it all again November 5th to 7th in Washington, D.C., with even more podcasts, panels, and workshops. Plus, there'll be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get tickets at CrookedCon.com. If you're a friend of the pod, you get a discount too. See you there.
Let's get back to my conversation with Jake Sherman. I like to joke that Leader Mike Johnson has the worst job in D.C. and lives in hell. And as you mentioned, Max Miller's seat matters. Chuck Edwards' seat matters. He's up for re-election. The House Ethics Committee, as you were just saying, has recommended he be censured for being creepy. So how much harder does all of this nonsense make Mike Johnson's life now? What is this doing to his ability to do his job?
Well, lucky for him, the House is not in session for another 27 days, a nice summer recess in the middle of an election season before taking all of October off before the election. So there's not a ton of business to be conducted. But all of that said, the big challenge for Johnson would be is if Democrats or a Republican moves to expel Max Miller or Chuck Edwards, meaning kick them out of this Congress. That vote needs a two-thirds majority. It is extremely rare. George Santos was the last person to be expelled, and before that, it hadn't happened for many, many years. That would make Johnson's life incredibly, incredibly difficult. It would bring him closer to being in the minority this Congress. Now, All of that said, there's not a ton of business that the House has to conduct in the coming months. There's the government shuts down September 30th. That should be on a glide path. Congress should be able to avoid that shutdown at the end of September. But otherwise, I mean, it is campaign season, which actually in many ways makes this much more dangerous because there is a narrative building. We wrote about this yesterday. Similar to 2006, a president in an unpopular war, a Republican Party that is beset by ethics issues, just like they were in 2006, and a midterm election coming up, that's a really difficult hand to play.
Yeah. I mean, all you need is a horrifying natural disaster, and you'd really have
Bush
part three, I guess. So to that point, it seems like for the first year-ish of Trump's term, House Republicans really fell in line and focused on executing Trump's agenda. But it seems like they're all caught up in all kinds of drama, and there has been some really great reporting from Axios and elsewhere that Trump just doesn't really care. He doesn't really care if the Republicans lose the House because he just used executive orders anyway. Is this the least powerful GOP majority you can remember?
It's an interesting question. It is probably the most subservient, I would say, much more subservient than last time around. I mean, remember, the last time Trump had the presidency, Paul Ryan was the speaker. He did push back on Trump on a number of occasions, or at least pretended to. That is far in the rearview mirror. I mean, we're talking about a decade ago now. But all of that said, I think Trump is mistaken to not care if that is indeed the case. If Democrats take the House, he will spend the final 2 years of his presidency dealing with investigations, with subpoenas, with pushback on a whole host of issues. It is not going to be easy to have Democrats in the majority if you are Donald Trump. They don't want to do business with him. And if they did want to do business with him, Trump wouldn't want to do business with them while they're investigating him. It will be a very, very messy 2027 and 2028 if Democrats take back the majority.
But then he can just focus more on getting his arch. He loves an arch.
But remember, I will say, like, even things like that, Democrats could put handcuffs on or try through spending bills or other priorities that Donald Trump needs. They could say, you can't do that. I mean, and he would be faced with, you know, a dilemma. So it would become exponentially harder for him to operate even within the kind of broad confines that he's been operating in for the last 2 years.
So there's House Republicans. And then there's more drama going on with Senate Republicans. Trump and Senate Majority Leader John Thune are trading barbs about math. There's other infighting. Republicans are mad that they're running Attorney General Ken Paxton in Texas because he's trailing Democrat James Tallarico in the polls. There's a host of Senate Republicans who won't be in their seats next year and don't seem to care very much anymore, the so-called YOLO caucus. In the middle of all of this, there's that stopgap funding bill that has to pass before the midterms. You mentioned that it was kind of on a glide path. Why and what are the chances that gets done?
Well, I'll take that back. I think glide path is a little bit too easy. The Senate's going to pass it. The House is going to have to come back and pass it as well. My understanding is Donald Trump from the White House is in favor of it. A shutdown really benefits nobody at the end of September. Truly, it does not. Chaos is not good for either party. No party ever wins a shutdown. Whoever instigates it usually loses, but the blame is kind of diffuse and people hate Washington and incumbents lose on both sides of the aisle. So I don't think anyone benefits from it. I do think they end up passing it. There's probably going to be some drama within that time period, but that's what most of September is going to be focused on. It's going to be focused on averting this shutdown. It is a pretty non-controversial spending bill that keeps government funded until December 11th. And remember, by December 11th, we should know who will control the House and Senate. So that lame duck session of Congress between the election and the seating of the new Congress in January is going to be very high stakes, very busy, and very frenzied.
Now, you said it's non-controversial, but this is Washington and Trump, so anything can become controversial very quickly. Is there a chance Trump pulls something with regard to the Save America Act, which he's still obsessed with? He still is obsessed. That's why he didn't sign that housing bill. Is there a chance he's like, until I get the Save America Act that no one wants and you get rid of the filibuster, which no one also wants, I will let the government shut down.
The answer to that is yes. I think that is a distinct possibility. I don't think the Save America Act is going to pass in the budget reconciliation bill, which is that fast-track budget process that gives Republicans or either party in the majority the ability to pass any kind of tax and spend bill with a simple majority. But I do think there will be a chance that Donald Trump would say, I'll shut down the government if I don't get Save. I think Republicans will try to walk him away from that. But that's a very good point. That will be kind of the last must-pass bill leaving the station before the election, but he'll have another crack at that in December. Another must-pass bill will be up, and that will be, you know, to renew government funding again, but I think that's a distinct possibility.
Trump, making lives difficult. Jake, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
That was my conversation with Jake Sherman, co-founder of Punchbowl News. Before we go, the midterm election is less than 100 days away, and Democrats have to win back the House of Representatives to stop Donald Trump's agenda. Vote Save America has identified 12 of the most beatable Republicans up for re-election this year, who are called the Crooked Dozen. Kicking out the Crooked Dozen is doable, but it's going to take all of us stepping up between now and Election Day. Vote Save America is here with practical actions you can take right now to help us win. Sign up at votesaveamerica.com for all the tools you need to vote, volunteer, amplify good information, and most importantly, talk to the people in your life and get them to join you. It literally takes 2 seconds. Sign up at votesaveamerica.com. This message has been paid for by Vote Save America, votesaveamerica.com. It is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, sympathize with a man who was so tired of theater people he did a crime, and tell your friends to listen. And if you're into reading, and not just about the musical director for a production of the Rocky Horror Picture Show in Vermont, who allegedly sent himself threatening texts to get the show canceled because he was tired of dealing with actor drama, like me, What A Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Jane Costin, and if you have ever participated in theater of any kind, you understand this man at an almost cellular level. What A Day is a production of Crooked Media. Our show is produced by Caitlin Plummer, Emily Four, Erica Morrison, and Adrian Hill. Our team includes Haley Jones, Greg Walters, Matt Berg, Joseph Dutra, Johanna Case, and Desmond Taylor. Our music is by Kyle Murdoch and Jordan Cantor. We had help today from the Associated Press. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hi, my name is Mitch Landrieu.
My name is Erin Haynes.
My name is Jennifer Palmieri, and we're hosting a new series called Long Play. The South is the new political epicenter of the country. Democrats are way on their heels in this region, but Republicans are going through their own reckoning in the South, too.
I mean, the South has always shaped American politics. We know that.
The stakes could not be higher, but to win the South, you have to understand it.
People in the South feel really misunderstood, left behind, put down on, and they want to explain that to somebody.
We're traveling across 6 southern states to explore the people, the issues, the assumptions that no longer hold, and what the rest of us are missing about a region that will shape the future of our politics and our country. From Left, Right, and Crooked Media, starting July 27th, watch Long Play Series on YouTube at youtube.com/longplayseries, or listen wherever you get your podcasts.